Thank you, Chair. Our delegation also thanks the panelists who shared with us their expertise this morning. Colleagues, it was 30 years ago last month that Sergei Krikalev was the first cosmonaut to fly on an American spacecraft. This historic milestone, like many others in outer space before and since, represents how countries can work together in the peaceful exploration and use of outer space, even during times of tension. Today, the rules-based international order for outer space, established nearly six decades ago, faces new challenges. This is why the United States has urged the international community to take stock of current and emerging threats, and more importantly, commit to addressing them. As a foundation, states parties to the Outer Space Treaty of 1967 must commit to upholding their international obligations. That is also why, together with Japan, the United States has put forward a UN Security Council resolution reaffirming the fundamental obligation that states parties have under the Outer Space Treaty. This resolution further calls on all UN member states not to develop nuclear weapons or any other kinds of weapons of mass destruction specifically designed to be placed in orbit around the Earth. The United States continues to work in New York with other members of the Security Council to forge consensus around this text. The United States is also interested in engaging with states parties to the Outer Space Treaty to explore ways to increase confidence in compliance with this Article 4 obligation. The United States has already begun considering approaches to help ensure that countries cannot deploy nuclear weapons into orbit undetected, and we intend to engage with other states' parties as our ideas evolve. Chair, it bears repeating during these times of tension and reduced confidence that compliance with existing arms control obligations is not only essential, but a key to rebuilding trust. We must ensure compliance with the existing legal framework for outer space if we are to make progress on new agreements. In this regard, we note that there are delegations in this room that are not parties to the Outer Space Treaty. We encourage all members of the CD, as well as all other UN member states that have not yet become parties to the Outer Space Treaty, to ratify or accede to this treaty, as well as incorporate its provisions as they enact necessary measures in national legislation before they advocate again for new legally binding outer space arms control agreements. Ratification would be a clear and unmistakable commitment to efforts to prevent an arms race and to prevent conflict from beginning in or extending into outer space. In terms of the work of this body, universalization of the Outer Space Treaty is the right place to start, as the distinguished colleague from Canada mentioned in his response to the panel. It seems like something on which we could and should all agree, and certainly would be a key part of implementing the Paris Agenda item in this body. Chair, we also cannot ignore that we have competing multilateral processes and goals relating to space security. These include two resolutions that were adopted last year in the UN General Assembly, which established two open-ended working groups. In this regard, the United States has consistently engaged constructively and pragmatically with all UN member states in order to strengthen the safety, stability, security, and sustainability of outer space activities and to prevent an arms race in outer space. This is why we led and supported efforts at the United Nations to create pragmatic and effective initiatives to discuss current security threats in outer space and approaches to mitigate them. General Assembly Resolution 77/41 was an important concrete step in this regard, calling on all states to commit not to conduct destructive direct ascent anti-satellite missile tests. And I am pleased to say that a total of 39 states have now made national commitments in this regard. Chair, General Assembly Resolution 78/20, which establishes a second OEWG on reducing space threats through norms, rules, and principles of responsible behaviors, is another example of a pragmatic initiative that seeks to build upon the progress made during the first working group. Conversely, we saw one delegation, the principal advocate of multiple rival processes, repeatedly impede productive discussion on these issues in 2022 and 23, during the first OEWG on reducing space threats. This was despite clear indications that a vast majority of states were constructively participating and supporting those discussions, even those delegations that had initially expressed reservations. As part of its obstructionism, this single delegation made no serious attempts to negotiate the content of the OEWG report or even acknowledge the group's existence. It chose instead to block consensus on even a simple procedural report. Despite these spoiling tactics, a large joint group of participating states at the OEWG enthusiastically noted that the forum had proven itself and supported the continuation of a norms-based approach. Chair, if we are serious about addressing issues related to preventing an arms race in outer space, then we cannot be locked into the same stagnant debate that has not made progress for over four decades. Instead, the United States believes we should respond to the recommendation from the Secretary General's report from the 76th session, which calls for a broad approach stating, and I quote, "I continue to believe that a combination of binding and non-binding norms is needed, building on existing frameworks and drawing on the full range of actors now involved in space exploration and use." We did get close to that idea in September 2022 through Subsidiary Body 3's consensus report in this body, contained in CD/2308, where all of us offered concessions to achieve that outcome. The positive outcome of a UN Disarmament Commission working group on space security in April 23, contained in A7842, is also cause for measured optimism. But, much like the other topics on our agenda, this year we find ourselves here in Geneva without a clear path on what exactly we should discuss on the Paris agenda item. For its part, the United States continues to support a comprehensive approach toward enhancing the security, stability, safety, and sustainability of the domain, and we would refer colleagues to our OEWG working paper for the details of this approach. We should also focus on and reaffirm that the full, equal, meaningful, and effective participation of women and marginalized groups is a critical element in discussions on reducing threats to space capabilities, which makes significant contributions to social, economic, scientific, and technological development, as well as to international peace and security. Last but not least, Chair, while noting the consensus recommendations of General Assembly Resolution 7852, the United States would also recommend that the CD continue to address the recommendations made in the 2013 consensus report of the Group of Governmental Experts on Transparency and Confidence Building Measures, TCBMs, for outer space activities. Chair, we hope our discussions here today accurately reflect the state of the broader multilateral deliberations on outer space. There are ongoing processes not yet begun, all mandated by the General Assembly, and they should continue to discuss these matters before the CD attempts to negotiate anything on this agenda item. Thank you, Chair.